Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to your audio recap for NXT TakeOver 30. My name is Eric Vasquez, and I run the website that is bringing you this audio recap, thewrestlingchronicle.com. Again, this is the recap for NXT TakeOver 30, a takeover that took place from the WWE Performance Center, chocked full of great wrestling, and TakeOver delivered basically like TakeOver does. But before we get into the show, let me just get all the important stuff out of the way for all the new people that are checking out this recap. First, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to listen to this recap, listen to me blab about wrestling. I really appreciate it. Like I said, you can find this recap. It's available on thewrestlingchronicle.com. And for those of you who like to use podcast platforms, this recap is available on all podcasts all across the internet. I'm talking about Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Pandora, basically wherever you listen to your podcast. All you got to do is search for the Wrestling Chronicle Podcast Network and you can find it there. Just hit the subscribe button. And the best thing about it is any audio recap that I do pertaining to anything in wrestling, it is all under that one feed. So you don't have to go jumping around and subscribing to multiple shows. So that's the good part about the Wrestling Chronicle Podcast Network. So, again, if you need any podcast, pertaining to wrestling in your life, check me out. Again, it's the Wrestling Chronicle Podcast Network. And tonight is the recap for NXT TakeOver 30. Super excited to get in this show. It was a really, really good show. They even had a pre-show match, cause the pre-show started, I believe, at about 6:30. So they had a little pre-show match. It was a triple threat tag team match. And the winners of this tag team match will face Imperium at a later date for the NXT tag team titles. The match was between Joaquin Wilde and Raul Mendoza of Legado de Fantasma against Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan against Breezango. And for a opening pre-show match, it was really, really good. And I'm very, very interested in seeing the rise and emergence of Breezango, who was always looked at as sort of a comedy act, a comedy tag team, not to be taken seriously. But in this match, I thought they really string together some offense and look like a legit tag team. They didn't do any of the parody stuff that they usually do when they come out to the ring. They were still them usual selves. But again, this was a pretty serious match with a lot of implications. And again, it was for the right to face Imperium for the NXT Tag Team Championships. And speaking of Breezango, they were the ones to actually pull out the win. I actually thought that maybe Legado de Fantasma would maybe come away with the win. I didn't really expect Oney Lorcan or Danny Burch to get it. But again, Breezango was kind of maybe the second thought. But again, surprisingly, they got the win on the pre-show. So that was a good way to start off the show. The opening match for NXT TakeOver 30 was Tim Thatcher taking on Finn Balor. Now, interesting note about Finn Balor, he has never lost on an NXT TakeOver special. The second longest reigning NXT champion of all time, has really been making waves in NXT under this new sort of newfound attitude as the Prince. But again, second longest reigning NXT champion of all time. He definitely, in my eyes, belongs on the Mount Rushmore of NXT. Now, in terms of this match, Tim Thatcher is a wrestling genius. The way he worked in submissions allowed him to control the match despite getting some offense in, but that really didn't matter in the end. Balor found an opening and hit the coup de grace and then the 1916 to go to 12-0 on a takeover. Again, this was a really, really fun match. Someone had noted on Twitter that this would be a match that you would probably see in the Tokyo Dome, and I have to agree. Thatcher did his thing, being that he's probably one of the best technical wrestlers on the planet. He stuck to that game, while Balor stuck to his usual quick pace striking ability. So there was a real clash of styles in this match that I enjoyed. And if you're a fan of strategic matches, you would definitely enjoy this one, as, again, Thatcher, being the technical wrestling genius that he is, basically kept the match on the ground, using a lot of submissions and ground holds to keep Balor kind of neutralized. But again, Balor, being the quick striker that he is, once he found an opening, he was able to get that coup de grace rounded off and then for good measure hit the 1916 for the win. So I asked you guys on Twitter what you thought of the match. Let me go ahead and pull that up. As you always know, if you're familiar with this podcast, you know that it's kind of touch and go, and we kind of keep it rolling as best we can. But like I said, Balor remains undefeated on TakeOver. I asked you guys to grade the match, and it was funny. Out of all the votes that we got, this match is split down the middle 50-50 between four flame emojis and three flame emojis. So the best part about it is at least you guys enjoyed the match, especially as much as I did. So next up after that opening match, and again, congratulations to Finn Balor for continuing his undefeated winning streak at NXT TakeOver, going 12-0. The next match up on the card was the NXT North American Championship match. It was a ladder match for the vacant title, and it was between Johnny Gargano, Bronson Reed, Damian Priest, Cameron Grimes, Velveteen Dream. Now, interesting of note, Velveteen Dream obviously being the most controversial person in the match. Very interesting to note that he didn't get very much of a reaction from his co-workers when coming out to the ring. Bronson Reed was rocking some Bam Bam Bigelow inspired gear, and Damian Priest was rocking a little bit of an homage to Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels, kind of mixing it up for the former Click members, which I thought was pretty cool. This match was basically what you would expect from a ladder match, but I thought it was really, really, the way it was constructed was very interesting, because they kind of built up to all the carnage. It wasn't necessarily right off the bat guys just flinging ladders at each other, trying to bust up each other's faces, nothing like that. It kind of gradually got there, and there was a lot of little things that were perfectly placed in the match to kind of really put it all together. Candice LeRae got involved in the match, and her involvement in the match really didn't hinder anything. It actually enhanced everything, the way she took out Cameron Grimes with that step over Hurricane Rana. And then when Bronson Reed was on a ladder and he was preparing to deliver that giant splash of his to Johnny Gargano, Candice LeRae was on his back. He still delivered that splash, but it was very reminiscent of when Vader delivered the Vader bomb to Goldust with Luna on his back. And you remember that sight of when the impact happened, it kind of looked like Luna had like a whiplash effect. It was almost just like that, but it really put things over the top. Again, this was a type of ladder match where it kind of built up to the carnage. There was one point where Velveteen Dream gets taken off the ladder by one of the competitors, I can't remember, and then he kind of does one of those things where he lands his feet on the ropes and then does a somersault into the open area, crashing through a table. It was super, super crazy, like intense moments. So the carnage was there was a perfect amount of carnage in the match, and it was a sensible ladder match. And then they built up to the spots where each man kind of had his moment to kind of grab the title and fight for it, and you couldn't tell which way they were going. Honestly, at one point they looked like they were going to go with Bronson, and then it looked like they were going to go with Cameron Grimes, and then they had a Priest show up. So they did a very good job of making sure everybody came out of that ladder match looking quote unquote strong and looking like a viable competitor. In the end, I thought they made the right call in putting the belt on Damian Priest. I feel like everybody really had a claim to be NXT North American champion. However, I feel like the North American Championship is sort of the workman's title, what we used to consider the Intercontinental title in the early 90s, was sort of the step up to let you know that this guy, there's good things on the horizon, they're on their way there, but this is the working man's title, and let's see if they can handle it when they have a little bit of accolade on their back, and let's see if Damian Priest can pull it off. Honestly, I thought anybody in the match would have made the most sense, except for Velveteen Dream, obviously with all the controversy that's involved with him, but everybody else in that match, if you would have put the belt on them, it would have made perfect sense, and it makes perfect sense to put the belt on Damian Priest, who's kind of finally found his footing. You can see like the seeds were starting to grow. They were planted when he came in, and you saw a lot of promise in what Damian Priest could deliver. And then finally you see all of that coming to fruition. And, you know, it's really good to see him get his accolade. And it's very interesting to see him also sort of in a semi babyface role, which I thought was very, very interesting as well. So I asked you guys on Twitter what you thought of the match, and here's how it broke down. 81% gave it 4 flame emojis, which obviously rightfully deserve. It was an excellent ladder match. My friend Mike Simpson on Twitter said, for the pain that Grimes went through, I thought he was going to get rewarded. No issue with Priest winning at all. Like Candace getting involved too. Nice wrinkle to it. Gotta agree. Everything was perfectly placed. And especially two things. When you have a match like a ladder match, there's obviously things that can go wrong. Not only that, but you have a 5-person match. There's a lot of fucking shenanigans and sort of awkwardness that can happen. But this match, for the amount of carnage, the amount of violence that it was supposed to bring, and for the amount of people that were involved in the match, I think this match hit it right on the mark. So congratulations to Damian Priest, and congratulations to all the men who delivered a great match, and thank you for that entertainment. Next up after the ladder match was the match that I was looking forward to the most. The Pat McAfee debut, in-ring debut of former Indianapolis Colts punter Pat McAfee taking on the longest reigning NXT champion, former NXT champion Adam Cole. Now, the caveat to this was Undisputed Era was not allowed to be at ringside, and Pat McAfee could not have any entourage or any posse members at ringside as well. They really didn't abide to that rule, but let me tell you, Pat McAfee took them all out with a sort of a senton off the top rope to the outside, crashing into basically everybody. And that was when it was like, okay, maybe Pat McAfee knows what he's doing in that ring. And then he just turned it on everything. It literally blows my mind how much of a natural Pat McAfee looked like in that match. It was like watching, you know, it's like everything they said about Kurt Angle when he debuted in the WWE, how natural he looked, almost like he would look like he'd been doing this for years. Now, was everything perfect with McAfee? Not perfect, but damn, he definitely didn't look like one of those celebrity wrestling fans that they wanted to give a shot in the ring. This guy looked like he knew what he was doing. He was pulling out moves that veterans would pull out. There was the spot where they were both battling on the top turnbuckle. Adam Cole shoves Pat McAfee off, and Pat McAfee somersaults off the ropes and lands on his feet, almost like Ricochet-esque. And then in one fluid motion, runs, jumps and leaps, lands on the top turnbuckle with perfect balance, and then hits Adam Cole with a superplex that was pinpoint perfection. Again, this was definitely this was without a doubt the best outsider debut of all time. I'm talking LT, Stephen Amell, Snooki, whatever celebrity you want to bring up that has dabbled in the world of professional wrestling, none of them have looked as good as Pat McAfee did tonight, to the point that if Triple H offered Pat McAfee a NXT contract to be an NXT performer, not only would nobody be surprised by this move, everybody would say it's probably well-deserved after just this one performance. Besides the fact that it was a mind-blowingly shocking debut from Pat McAfee, he almost looked like he pulled out the win when he hit Adam Cole with that punt kick, but then Cole kicked out. Cole hits McAfee with a super kick. He lays him out. He goes to go for the last shot, but then decides to switch things up a bit and puts Pat McAfee away with the Panama City Sunrise, aka the Canadian Destroyer. Again, no complaints in terms of this match. Pat McAfee, kudos to you, man. You did your thing. You definitely proved me wrong. Now, I was the one that was saying this angle was built up absolutely beautifully. This they fucking knocked it out of the park with this angle, the way they built it up. Because the thing about it that blows my mind, see, people tried to dissect this and go, well, you know, it kind of looks like Adam Cole sticking up for NXT, and that kind of makes Adam Cole look like a babyface. And I'm like, yeah, that's great, because here's the thing. Adam Cole, for all intent and purposes, is a slime ball. He's always been a slime ball. He's always been about himself. He's always been about Undisputed Era. He's always been about championships and being the champion, which is not bad, but he always took an underhanded way to make sure that he and the Undisputed Era were always draped in gold, which makes him a slime ball. They went and found a guy in Pat McAfee to out slime ball a slime ball like Adam Cole, to the point where when the whole situation at the Pat McAfee show happened, where Cole blew up and blew a gasket, I, for one, was just like, yes, I'm sticking up for Adam Cole, but here's this guy who has a total lack of respect for someone like Adam Cole, an athlete like Adam Cole, and he shouldn't take the words of Pat McAfee sitting down like he didn't do on his show. And then that built up into the angle of this match. Now, this could have really just blown up. McAfee could have looked really stupid out there, and then we could have said, well, it is what it is. At least the build-up for it was entertaining. But holy hell, despite the loss, Pat McAfee looked like a bona fide NXT superstar. So if Triple H gave him a contract right now, I would not be surprised. In terms of the outcome of what you guys thought on Twitter, I asked you guys, and this is how it broke down. 76% gave it 4 flame emojis, rightfully so. And my friend Mike Simpson says, great showing by McAfee for sure. Only one mess up, the jumping backstabber, but I was quite impressed by him. Nice to see it wasn't just all kicks and clotheslines. And that's a very good point, too. I think this honestly, a lot of credit has to go to Adam Cole too, because Adam Cole had to wrestle a match where he hid the inexperience of Pat McAfee and accentuated his positives. He hid his inexperience and then used Pat McAfee's athleticism to construct a match that was highly entertaining. So just as good as Pat McAfee was in his performance, a lot of credit has to go to Adam Cole, who's working with a man who literally has no wrestling experience whatsoever. In wrestling, it's not only about how good you are in the ring, it's how good you can make your opponent look too, to make the match entertaining. Those are things that make up what a good wrestler is. That's why you hear those things about guys like Kenny Omega, AJ Styles, Bret Hart. They had the ability to not only be great at what they do for themselves, but the whole idea is they understand that is a partnership. So they also have to make their opponent look good. And Adam Cole did that in tenfold, which to me makes Adam Cole, you know, one of the best in the business right now. You know, and I wouldn't be surprised. What's left for Adam Cole to do? I mean, he was the longest reigning NXT champion of all time. You know, at one point, Undisputed Era held all the gold. What is left for Undisputed Era to do in NXT? I don't know. I'm interested in seeing what the future is going to hold. But for tonight, both men, congratulations on delivering an excellent, excellent match. Next up, we had match for the NXT Women's Championship between champion Io Shirai taking on challenger Dakota Kai. Now, here's what I thought about this match. I honestly was going into this match thinking, hey, this is a perfect place to put a match to kind of give us a cool off everybody was kind of highly expecting or anticipating and really excited for the McAfee-Cole match. And not only that, if you weren't excited, once you started hearing about the performance that Pat McAfee was putting on, it probably really dialed in a lot of people. And a lot of people were probably on the edge of their seats watching the match. Now, in that terms, when you have the match that is coming next, after a match like that, you're thinking, shit, you know, especially if you're a performer on the match, you're like, oh man, how am I going to follow such a performance like that? But I got to give credit to Dakota Kai and Io Shirai. They really, really delivered a phenomenal match. It was excellent to watch. Dakota Kai had a game plan in effect where she was going to work the arm of Shirai, and she did an excellent job working the arm. You know, and Shirai had to fight from underneath, so she had to look like that vulnerable champion who was at a disadvantage and looked like it almost looked like she might have lost her title at times. And this is kind of a coming out party for Dakota. She was on like the precipice of almost like she's really, really good, but maybe we haven't seen just how good she is. So this was a big time match for Dakota, and I honestly think that she really delivered in the clutch. And I think that's what the best part about this match was. It wasn't necessarily this was a five-star classic or this happened or that happened, this was noteworthy or that. It was more so they were in this spot, they over-delivered for the spot that they were in, and you really saw how good Dakota Kai really, really is in the ring. I was actually surprised that Dakota Kai didn't pull out the victory. I mean, they had a perfect setup. They had Raquel Gonzalez out there. They had the ref bump where the ref gets knocked out by a face wash kick from Dakota Kai. He's laid out. Raquel lays out Shirai. She pulls in the referee. The referee wakes up all discombobulated, goes for the count, and Shirai kicks out at two. So then once Shirai finds an opening, she hits that moonsault for the second time, gets the 1-2-3. I'm not mad at the outcome, but I really, really thought that there were times that they were making it look like Dakota Kai was going to come out with the victory. Again, this was a match that you probably, after the McAfee and Cole match, you're probably like, okay, a little bit of time to relax. We're going to see a nice little match between Dakota Kai and Io Shirai. And then all of a sudden, you're sucked right back into the story of Io Shirai fighting from underneath with half a wing, basically, and still managing to pull out the win. After the match, before Shirai could even celebrate, she gets jumped on by Raquel Gonzalez. But before Raquel can do any more damage, she is run off by Rhea Ripley. So there's a chance that we might see Raquel Gonzalez versus Rhea Ripley, which is basically like that Spider-Man meme where they're both pointing at each other because they're basically carbon copies of each other. So that's going to be a really fun match. As far as what you guys thought on Twitter, 54% of the votes that came in for this match gave it 4 flame emojis, 36% gave it 3 flame emojis. Let's see what you guys say. My main man, Mike, says, was worried that the interference was going to be big lagger factor, can't handle it at the end. Match exceeded expectations. Io either did a great job selling her arm, or she really did mess it up. Hopefully just a masterful sell job. Kai was quite good in that match as well. The Hard-Hitting Wrestling Show podcast said that Dakota Kai wrestled to win that match. I would have accepted Raquel's interference. That's a very good point. It almost looked like Raquel had, or Dakota Kai had the idea of what she was planning to do, and her plan was actually coming together quite nicely. She wrestled almost like she was wrestling a chess match, where each move was specifically designed to happen when it did, and she was always thinking almost 3-4 moves ahead. Just that Io Shirai, honestly, we are not seeing how good Io Shirai is, and that's crazy to think because she is the NXT Women's Champion. But we really aren't seeing just how good she is. There was a point in time where Io Shirai was probably, you know, in the top 5 male or female category when in terms of wrestling, and just in terms of her ability, and she hasn't even scratched the surface. So who's to say? That's the great thing about the NXT Women's Division in terms of how they booked their champions. Ever since Asuka came in and she had that run as champion over 500 days and never lost a match, and had to relinquish the title, obviously, because there was really no competition. After that, it's really, you really kind of put yourself in a hole in terms of how do we really had this thing, we put it up on a pedestal, how do we keep that standard that high? And then they had Shayna Baszler. They kind of flipped it around with Kyrie, and then, you know, Ember Moon. And so there was the path of the NXT Women's Championship is the correct path in terms of how to build up a championship with a certain lineage. You know what I mean? It's got a certain je ne sais quoi about it. You know, this is the women that have held this championship, and the amount of big matches that have happened over this championship makes it one of the, I would say, one of the most coveted championships in all of wrestling. And I honestly think we need to start giving credit where credit's due, and saying NXT, in terms of how they book their women, they know what they're doing. I asked you guys what you thought of the match on Twitter. Again, out of all the votes, 54% gave it 4 flame emojis. So another good match on the card for NXT TakeOver. I think you guys are sensing a pattern. And then that leads us into the main event between Keith Lee defending the NXT Championship against Karrion Kross. Now, this match, as far as like the build-up for it, it wasn't really anything super outlandish. The best thing about it is it kind of looked like Karrion Kross kind of reminded me almost like a Batman villain almost. He was super brooding, scary, evil, you know, sent messages, you know, not like cryptic messages, but he would take out people for no reason in the back and then blame it on Keith Lee, and said, if you know, if you don't give me my shot, this is just going to continue to happen. Very villain like, very scary, sort of apocalyptic villain, Karrion Kross is. And Keith Lee is a perfect sort of babyface champion. Everybody can feel like he is a superhero because of some of the things he's done in the ring. He's definitely an anomaly. He's not human in what he's able to do for a man his size. So you can really honestly look at Keith Lee and think of him as sort of someone with a superhuman power. And he's a great champion. In terms of this match, I thought it was a very interesting match because it was super basic. There was nothing flashy about it. This was just two guys just mauling it out, basically. There was a part of the match where they were on the outside. Keith Lee had his hand draped over the barricade, in between the barricade and the plexiglass that keeps the NXT employees from the ringside area, you know, the whole social distancing thing. And then what happened was Karrion Kross kicked the barricade, you know, sort of pinning Keith Lee's arm between the barricade and the plexiglass. And from there, it was just systematic in how he dismantled Keith Lee's arm. And I think that was probably my only takeaway that I didn't like about this match, being that the match previously was also a match where the arm was worked heavily. So that was my only sort of, kind of don't, maybe if like Karrion Kross worked the leg instead of the arm, it would have been a lot better. But either way, this was a great match because, Kross found an opening, creating sort of a injury in the match. He worked the injury, and that allowed Keith Lee to sort of fight and have people say, despite him having one good arm, he's still fighting back and still doing the superhuman things that he does. He was able to lift off a spear bomb with no problem. The only thing is, Karrion Kross kicked out at 2. And that was the first time that has ever happened. And when it comes to a spirit bomb. So that was very interesting. And then the ending submission spot. Karrion Kross has Keith Lee in the cross jacket. And I've been pretty vocal about how to set up, you know, a submission spot, whether to make it believable or maybe it was rushed or whatnot. But this was a perfect way to set up a submission spot. You see Keith Lee fading and fading and fading, And I never liked the outcome where the ref only lifts the hand one time, it drops, and there goes the bell. It almost seems like anytime that happens, the reaction for that kind of falls flat. Keith Lee was able to fight out of the cross jacket submission, a perfect way to sort of build that match back up. Like, oh my God, maybe he really can do that. And they do a little bit more battling. They end up in the corner, both men on the second rope, and then Karrion Kross hits that Doomsday Saito suplex off the second rope, crashing down to the mat. Keith Lee sort of like folds up like a lawn chair, and from there it was almost like academic. You can kind of tell that that was going to be the three count, which it was, and we have a new NXT champion in Karrion Kross. I really don't know what, not necessarily what to make of the outcome, but necessarily what to make of Keith Lee really winning the title at the Great American Bash, which was, what, maybe only a month ago or so, and to really, he only had, what, one other title defense against Dijakovic, and that was it. So it was a rather short title reign for Keith Lee. It wasn't a bad thing. I just think it was one of those things, like everybody else is predicting, there really isn't much for Keith Lee to do. It almost seems like he's sort of bigger than NXT at this point, and he would do great things on the main roster. So who's to say he won't show up on the main roster come Monday or Friday on SmackDown? Who's to say? I don't know. Hopefully it happens soon. But anyway, asking you guys what you thought of the match. It's actually tied between four flame emojis and three flame emojis. So that's pretty interesting. At least a lot of people thought it was, you know, a decent match, at least good to great match. Mike says he was stunned at the outcome, just stunned. Didn't expect Lee to have a run like Cole, but didn't expect it to be that short. Cross's best match so far. We'll wait and see how he is as champ. Yeah, the thing about Cross and in his matches have all been pretty short because he's absolutely dominated his competition. This was the first time he had somebody really take it to him and keep him on his toes, almost put him away at a bunch of times. But again, like you said, it's interesting how they're going to book Karrion Kross as champion. We know Tommaso Ciampa returns on the coming NXT episode on Wednesday, so maybe they're going to revisit that feud and see if Tommaso Ciampa can get Goldie back. So there's a lot of things that are happening in NXT, and they're doing a great thing like they always do in setting up for the future to keep us interested in the show. So I asked you guys what you thought of NXT TakeOver overall, and the votes are still coming in. Obviously, the poll lasts for a full 24 hours, so if you're listening to this and want to give your thoughts before the poll goes off, go ahead and leave your votes for the fire emojis. But I asked you guys what you thought of NXT TakeOver overall, and 55% of you gave it four flame emojis. And Mike says, great, as all NXT TakeOvers are. Stunner in the main event, sore bodies and a lot of matches from the action. Hope, Dream, and Io are okay. Going to be hard for SummerSlam to top it. And that's basically what NXT TakeOver is about at this point. I've said this before on plenty other podcast episodes. NXT TakeOver never delivers a bad show. They've always been great, A-plus shows. There's never been a TakeOver that didn't deserve anything less than an A-. So, again, this is a show that knocked it out of the park, which is amazing that they could still do this in times like these. But again, congratulations to everyone in the NXT crew for an amazing show. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was very entertained. So thank you again to everyone involved in NXT. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That is my audio recap for tonight's NXT TakeOver special, NXT TakeOver 30. Again, I thank you guys for checking out this recap. If this is the first time you've checked out a recap and you would like to check out more, like I said, we're all, you know, all the episodes and all the recaps that I do are available all across the internet on any podcast platform that you prefer, whether it's Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Pandora, iHeartRadio, wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm available there. We are also available on social media. You can follow me on Twitter at Wrestling Cron. You can follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/The Wrestling Chronicle. And you can also check me out on Instagram at Wrestling Chronicle. So my name is Eric Vasquez. I thank you for checking out this audio recap. I will be back tomorrow night after SummerSlam to give you another audio recap. So I hope you guys check that out. Thank you again for checking this one out. So I'll see you on the next one.